It is a blessing to be here with all of you this morning. We are so thankful that the God of heaven allowed us to come to this place so that we might assemble in the name of his son, Jesus. For it is in God we live, we move, and we have our very being. I want to thank Brother Shan for saying nice things and even getting a little ahead of us as far as the uniqueness of our theme for this series of gospel sermons. And I think you probably get more people here if it was a butter butter. So, in anticipating of a good meal. But it's good to see everybody today. I got a chance to shake some hands, and you all have really complimented the Port Lavaca Church of Christ in being here today, not because I am here, but because they made an effort to get you out to be here today for the beginning of the gospel meeting. I'm looking forward to the duration of the days that I will be here, not only here at the congregation, but in the schools and doing the first responders, and then also speaking to the to other groups while I'm in the area. And I was telling Mike, I'm old. I can't do all those things anymore. And so I am old and older rather than so when I used to come, I was here and here. But as an old guy, I don't know if kids in school really want to hear an old guy who will come up and try to tell them how things are. But nonetheless, the door is open, the opportunity is there, and we will go into that door. I want to say one more thing about the Bible class that I did not say, and then we'll go a little bit further. But the reason why the book of Ecclesiastes is there, it is the same reason why in the book of Acts chapter 8 with the eunuch, when the eunuch saw Isaiah 53, how that he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb, yet he opened not his mouth. The eunuch saw himself in that particular passage because he had been emasculated in the same way that the person in Isaiah 53 seemed to have been emasculated. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, he that is wounded in the privy or cut among the stones shall not be allowed in the congregation of the people. And so he saw himself in that passage the same way that we can show people in the world that you can see yourself, you can see your attitude in this book in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is not written in a slant, that is to try to boast of the righteousness and the holiness of God, but it's about real people with real lives and in real situations. And that's why the book of Ecclesiastes is so current to 2017. So that's one little tidbit that I did not say. But once again, it's good to see all of you that are here. Got a chance to meet some new folks this morning, and praise God for that. And I'm looking forward to getting to know people that I don't know as well. Get to know them even better. I'm trying to slow things down right now, Shan. It's going too fast. I got up this morning at 5-something, jumped on the road and headed up here, and driving in the fog and in the rain, and got here and I had 3 cups of coffee. That's one reason I need to slow things down right now, and I kid you not. But it seemed like everything just went so fast. In the song service and the prayer and the communion and the collection and all of the other things, the announcements, and I just need to slow it down just a little bit so that I can get my perspective and not get up here rushing through this morning's discourse, but take my time so that we can not only deal with the substance of the lesson, but also the nuances that go along with this morning's lesson. So I just need to slow it down just a little bit more. I was thinking as you were ending your songs, Shan, I was thinking, you know, I would love to have say, hey, sing three more to give me a little bit more time. But let's let us do one more song. song, if you don't mind. And I don't know, I may have sung it with you, may not have sung it with you, but the words of this song are not hard. It is one word, the word amen. Now, if you have problem memorizing the words of this song, don't get behind the steering wheel and drive home, okay? It is just one word song. And if we sing it, by the time we finish singing that song, I would have calmed down and after three cups of coffee, I didn't finish all three now, it's three cups of coffee, calm myself down. Hey. It's good to see everybody this morning, and praise the Lord. I turned off my microphone so that I can hear you sing and not just hear me singing, out singing you all, but I wanted to hear you sing and trying to hear every last voice. And that is the uniqueness of singing without the aid of instruments, because we sing together. And you get to edify and exhort one another that way. And the instrument that you use, it is the instrument of your heart that you praise God that way. And we sing together and we make one voice that goes up to God as a sweet smelling savor to him. And he hears our praise and he blesses us accordingly. And again, it is so good to be here with all of you. I'm looking forward to spending time with you corporately and spending time with you individually, and those of you that I've had special time with. I want my time again this year, because that's part of my routine in being here, that we reconnect and then we reestablish relationship, catch up on things that have been going on since the last time that I saw you all. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what my philosophy is, and you know what my attitude is that I believe in the Bible. I believe that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is reliable. It is God-breathed. I believe that it came directly from the mind of God into the pen of those that wrote it down and preserved it for us. In fact, Peter said in the book of 2 Peter, he said, listen, I'm not going to be negligent in this matter, because the Lord has showed me that soon I must put off this, my earthen tabernacle. In other words, I'm going to strip myself of this clay, of this earthen clay. He said, but I will not be negligent to put you in memory of these things. And the way that he puts us in memory, or he put us in memory, was that he wrote it down. Not only did he write it down, but he made reference to the writings of the Apostle Paul. And he talked about the epistle of Paul, some things which are hard to be understood, But Paul's writing, he verified them and he authenticated that the writings of Paul, that they were scriptures, because he said that wicked men twist the Paul's writings as they do the other scriptures. So that's why I believe in the Bible, that indeed it is the Word of God. Our theme for the week's gospel sermons is a better, and I will explain that tomorrow. And the reason why I will explain it tomorrow is because we're probably going to have people from the community and others from other congregations that will be here. And I am just simply thinking that this better concept is something that we can all embrace as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, that it gives us voice, that it gives us that kind of tenacity, that it gives us that no fear mentality, that we have something that is unique, something that is very distinctive that we can give the world, and we must not shy away from that. And that's what we want to do tomorrow. And so tomorrow we will be talking about that. But this morning or today, ladies and gentlemen, I know what has happened to this area with the storm that came through. You got a lot of people that have suffered through the storm. We know what happened in Houston. We know what happened in Beaumont. We know what happened in Port Arthur. We know what happened in these areas around here, how the storm came in and absolutely devastated so many individuals. And there are people, ladies and gentlemen, that are asking questions. They are wagging their heads and they are wringing their hands. They are disturbed like perhaps they have never been disturbed before. There are individuals who are yet to go back to their homes. There are people who will never, ever go back to their homes, and they are looking for answers. And they're trying to find a place that has answers. Yeah, they may go and they may listen to Dr. Phil. They may listen to talk radio. They may read the newspapers. But there are some people that are coming to the church, and they may not put this thing in an audible way where they will express it and say, I don't understand what is going on. How can we rationalize what has happened to us? Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have an answer, then the world is in trouble. And we as believers, we must have an answer, because the people are asking. David in Psalms 119 says, give me whereby I might be able to answer them, for they ask it of me. And I said it earlier that Peter said we need to always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us about the reason of the hope that is within us with meekness and with fear. We cannot be as baffled as everybody else. We must at least have some kind of a handle on explaining what in the world is going on. Because people indeed are asking. And our inaugural message today, I want to talk about mother nature, human nature, and the divine nature. And I believe that if we go out there and if we are armed with the ability to answer, that we're going to capitalize on an opportunity. And I hope that it never ever comes again, that you're going to be ravaged by a storm, that a natural catastrophe happened to this area, where we have to talk about mother nature, human nature, and the divine nature. Ladies, I got to tell you something about Mother Nature. First of all, there are three things about Mother Nature. One, Mother Nature does not discriminate. Number two, Mother Nature can be fierce. And number three, Mother Nature can catch you blindsided. But we need to be able to articulate what in the world is going on. Somebody is asking, what in the world is going on? And if you don't have a sensible answer, then somebody with a foolish answer is going to answer them, and they're going to buy into that foolish nature. What in the world is going on with Mother Nature? You can tell them today, Mother Nature can be fierce, Mother Nature does not discriminate, and Mother Nature can indeed catch you blindsided. Well, how do you understand that, Anderson? All you have to do is go to the book of Jonah. And in the book of Jonah, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's in there. Amen. I didn't just make that one up. There's a book of Jonah in the Bible. But in the book of Jonah, you can see what I'm talking about. The fierceness of Mother Nature, how that Mother Nature does not discriminate. And not only that, Mother Nature can catch you blindsided. We all know the story, how it was that God had told Jonah, go down and cry against Nineveh. Not a whole long dissertation, but a very short sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Jonah would not go down, but rather going to Nineveh. Jonah goes to Joppa, gets on the ship, goes to Tarshish, get on the ship, going to Joppa. And he fastly goes asleep. When Jonah is asleep, the Bible says, then the Lord, verse number 4, he sent a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest, so that the ship was like to be broken. You already see the fierceness of Mother Nature. The fierceness of Mother Nature. Ladies and gentlemen, Mother Nature indeed can be fierce. That storm that came in, it was fierce. Unprecedented flooding in Houston. Storm people's homes. And if you go here, you go there, look up and you see how tiles have fallen down in this building. I'm thinking it's subsequent to the storm, right? Okay, all right. Amen. I know Shane can preach some roof-raising sermons, but I didn't know some roof-tearing sermons, you know. The storm, it can be fierce. That's how Mother Nature is. Mother Nature can be fierce. If you look at it later on in the same chapter, verse number 13, the Bible says the men rowed hard to bring the ship to the land, but they could not. Why? Because the sea wroth and was tempestuous against them. It was fierce. But not only can Mother Nature be fierce, Mother Nature can is does not discriminate. Everybody on that ship, they were subject to the same whims of Mother Nature. The waves go up, everybody in the ship goes up. The waves go down, everybody in the ship goes down. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 45. What does the Bible say? That God sends the rain on the just as well as on the unjust. Oh, don't we want it to rain on our neighbor's house, but not on our house? We don't want the storm because we say we believe in God, we trust God, so therefore what the storm does to the sinner, it shouldn't do it to our house. But guess what? Just now it rained. It rained on this building, and guess what? It rained on the liquor store too. I'm going to amen myself on that one. Amen, Anderson. They are asking questions about Mother Nature. You know what somebody is saying? Somebody is saying, well, the reason why the storm came is because folk ain't living right. That dog don't hunt. And if a dog don't hunt, you don't take it out to the woods. It is that. Listen, from the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God set in motion certain conditions. When these conditions are met, it will rain. If it's not met, it won't rain. When certain conditions are met, it will snow. When the conditions are not met, it will not snow. Even if it snows in the Sahara, certain conditions have to be met in order for it to snow. The reason why folk could predict which way the storm was coming was because there were certain conditions. Oh, it'll sweep here, it'll turn there, because you got a low and you got an upper level low, you got a cooling, it'll turn. They ain't wise like that. They know the conditions. So here it is, folk are saying, well, you know what's going on, Katrina, that God is raining down holy terror on New Orleans because of homosexuality. That ain't it. It's not it at all. That's Mother Nature. Mother Nature can catch everybody. It does not matter. You have known the situations where a storm, a tornado has come through and it wiped out a brick home, but yet it left the lean-to. Why did it pass over the shack? Why did it tear up the supermarket, but it left the mobile home? You don't have to amen. At least let me know you're awake. People are asking questions about Mother Nature.
And we cannot be as baffled as others and not be able to. Mother Nature is just that way. Mother Nature does not discriminate. Mother Nature can be fierce, and it will catch you blindsided. Those men that got on that ship did not think that a storm was going to happen. Oh, the possibility. But they didn't think that Mother Nature was going to get them the way that it did. That's how we help people understand Mother Nature. I used to have a problem long ago calling it Mother Nature because, yeah, it sounds just too heathenistic to call it Mother Nature. But in verse number 15 of that same chapter, Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says that when the men took Jonah and threw Jonah off the ship, over the side of the ship, that the sea ceased from her raging. And so the Bible calls the sea her. And so I'll call it Mother Nature just because they call the sea a her. Thank God they no longer just call all of the storm, the tornadoes, by women names. I don't know why they did it to begin with. Yes, I do. But amen. Because sometimes when things ain't right at home, it can be tornadic. It can be like a hurricane. Amen. I'm not going to go with what Solomon said, but leave that alone. Mother Nature. And so we think that because we are believers that we are exonerated from the whims of Mother Nature. No, we're not. No, we're not. Mother Nature, human nature, and the divine nature. You see Mother Nature from the beginning and everything else, it's always there. It is always there. That's how we explain it to people. Mother Nature can be fierce. Mother Nature does not discriminate, and it can catch you blindsided. We're no different from anybody else. And by the way, if you look at that same chapter, it says that everybody on the ship began to pray to their own gods. So we think, well, you know what, just because we believe in Jesus, and here it is, this other person believe in Krishna and Hindu and Muhammad, that, you know what, it ain't going to happen. Yes, it does happen to us. But it is not a judgment against us when it does happen. That's what Mother Nature does. And it does not mean we are worse or just as bad as anybody else, but that's how Mother Nature does. Let's talk about human nature, because I know that we only have a listening capacity, and I don't want to go beyond our listening. Let's talk about human nature. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to spend a little time undoing something. We have, and this is the discordant sound of I just want to use my words. These are the discordant sounds of pontificants who get up and talk. In other words, there's people talking a bunch of noise. Here it is, folk come, and I know that people are always talking about the sin nature. Ladies and gentlemen, we were not born sinners. When you look at the definition of sin, sin is something someone does. Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Does not John say that all unrighteousness is sin? Does not James say to him that know to do good and do it not to him it is sin? Does not John also say, 1 John chapter 3, that sin is the transgression of the law? We are not born sinners. We ultimately will sin. You live long enough, you probably will sin. As far as people talking about, well, you know what? The human nature is a sin nature. Human nature is not the so-called sin nature. What human nature is, it is our propensity to want to follow or to want to do things to fulfill our needs. And it's when we fulfill our needs in the wrong way. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 3. It says that, listen, in the former times, Paul uses the word we all walked according to the flesh. Just like others. When Jesus came to earth, he had a human nature. Amen, lights. Of course he did. Did Jesus sleep? Yes, he did. Did Jesus eat? Yes, he did. Did Jesus thirst? Yes, he did. Did Jesus want companionship? Yes, he did. Matthew 26, when he takes Peter, James, and John and says, sit here as I go yonder and pray. My soul is exceedingly sorrow unto death. I need some companionship right now. But they didn't give it to him. John chapter 1, verse number 11. He came unto his own and his own received them not. Well, how did he come? He came in human flesh. Human nature is the needs that we have in our lives. And when we follow those needs incorrectly, that's where sin comes in. We all have the same needs. I told you about that a couple of years ago. The needs are remembered by the word S-P-I-E-S, spies. That is the spiritual needs, the physical need, the emotional need, the intellectual needs, and the social needs, S-P-I-E-S. The spiritual needs, the physical needs, the intellectual needs, the emotional needs, and the social needs. What happens with human nature is that that's what human nature is. Those are those needs. And what happens is that we go out and we try to fulfill those needs in the wrong way. Well, what do you mean, Anderson? In the book of Romans chapter 2, verse number 14, that even the Gentiles which have not the law, they do by nature the things contained in the law. And then in Ephesians and Romans chapter 1, and it talks about the people in the days where they changed, they worship the creature rather than created. And it says that even their own women, they changed their nature. They went against nature and were doing things that were inconvenient. Human nature is not just us being born, but human nature are the things that we are our needs in life that we either fulfill correctly or incorrectly. That's what human nature is. It is human nature for boys to look at girls. Thank you so much. Let's send everybody else home and just me and you have church. But they ain't getting it. Amen. Now, you want to know something? When a boy does not look at a girl, amen. If I'm standing with a young man and a good-looking girl passed by and he doesn't look, see, man, didn't you see that girl? I'd rather have boys looking at girls than boys looking at boys. Amen on that. Y'all not with me this morning? Is it too early yet? Amen. That's human nature. That girls look at boys. That's human nature. But when it goes just the other way, it is against nature. It is against nature. So what is human nature? Human nature are our needs. That we try to get met our spiritual needs, our physical needs, our intellectual needs, our emotional needs, and our social needs. People are asking questions, and if we are baffled as they are, they're not going to get good questions, and they're going to leave and go somewhere else and get an answer. And it may be a perverted answer. It may be a distorted answer because we did not know how to answer. And so we understand Mother Nature. Mother Nature can be fierce. Mother Nature does not discriminate. And Mother Nature can catch you blindsided. I'm beginning to sweat. I'm just beginning to preach. Amen. Amen. Number two, human nature. Human nature. Human nature are our needs that we have, that we go and get fulfilled. Sin is fulfilling our needs in a wrong way. The believer has physical needs. The believer has intellect. The believer has emotional needs. The believer has social needs. The problem with King Saul, 1 Samuel chapter 15, was that Saul had a social need that he fulfilled in the wrong way. Rather than listening to God, he listened to the voice of the people. 1 Samuel 15, 24, he tells Samuel, I have sinned because I broke the commandments of the Lord and I hearkened unto the voice of the people. His social need was so overwhelming that Samuel had already convicted him of sin. And then he tells Samuel, now turn now and honor the Lord with me in the presence of this people. Samuel says, I will not. Then Saul grabbed hold to him and tore his mantle,
just to try to get him to give a public show of solidarity. And Samuel turned, and he was with Saul, at least in the sight of the people. That was his social need. I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. What has happened is that when people talk about human nature, we make it ugly. Human nature are simply the needs that we have. Sin is when we fulfill the. If you look at it, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And if you look at it and you'll see, let me just edit this. It says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He used the collective term. That's the way we all were. And yes, I know that once we have been regenerated, the needs don't leave. But how we get those needs met changes. It changes. Human nature. Human nature. Mother nature. Human nature. Let's talk about the divine nature. The divine nature, ladies and gentlemen, again, just like Mother Nature and just like human nature, the divine nature has been misconstrued. It has been misrepresented. Somebody tries to make the divine nature some next level spirituality. You know, some next levels that here it is, that's y'all, and here I am as far as spirituality is concerned. That I've climbed the spiritual ladder and I'm not like other people, you know. I've heard some, Shan, who take 1 John chapter 3, where it said that he that is born of God sinneth not. And so they go around saying, you know what, I've achieved some next level spirituality, the divine nature, and I don't sin. And I tell them, you sinning right now because you're lying. Amen. Because John, you pick out that one verse of scripture, but you ignore 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth or continues to cleanse us from our sins. If any man say he has not sinned, one, he makes God a liar. Two, he deceives himself. Three, the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous, and he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The divine nature is not some next level spirituality. The divine nature is being like God. Godliness. How do you know that, Anderson? 1st, 2nd Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about how that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through him, that is, through Jesus. All right? And then it says in the next verse about that, how that we take on, be partakers of the divine nature. Y'all thought I was making that up. Y'all thought I was freestyling up here. No, I ain't freestyling. That's nothing but book there. What is the divine nature? The divine nature is godliness. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, same chapter, verse number 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Godliness. The divine nature is godliness. It is interesting, and I find it absolutely compelling if it were the case that Satan wanted to have, or he orchestrated a revolt in heaven, that he wanted to be like God. Well, guess what? God is telling us down here on earth, you can be like me. I just thought it was interesting.
That here it is, if it were the case that that was the problem that he had, being like God, that here it is, God invites us to be like him. I quoted earlier John chapter 1, verse number 11. He came unto his own received them not, verse number 12. But as many as received them, gave he them the power to become the sons of God, not born of flesh, nor of the will of men, nor of blood, but born of God. The divine nature is to be like God. It is available to all of us. It is not some preacher on TV talking about that I've achieved the next level of spirituality. That's absolute foolishness. The divine nature is being like God. Godliness. God-likeness is the divine nature. And we all can have that nature. The divine nature. Being like God. That's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Being like God. This is not complicated. You get people out there trying to make it complicated, because if they make it complicated, you got to go to them in order to get an answer or even an explanation of it. No, this stuff is too simple. It is so simple that it's right there. You go and look at it. We talk about mother nature, human nature, and the divine nature. Mother nature can be fierce. Mother nature does not discriminate. And mother nature can catch you blindsided. The human nature is not, you know, some so-called sin nature. But human nature is us trying to fulfill our needs. And we fulfill them many times in the wrong way. What are those needs? They're the spiritual, physical, intellectual, emotional, and social needs that we all have. That's human nature. You have that nature. I have that nature. We all have those things that we try to fulfill. And that's why some people look for love in all the wrong places. Amen. Amen. You do? You look for it in all the wrong places. Why? Because I'm looking for love, you know. Looking for love. There are some people that are so desperate for love, they'll cut off their arms and legs. And don't have to complain when you become a doormat. Y'all missed that one. No legs, no arms, mat. Okay. Okay, somebody got it, all right. This side of the room didn't get it, all right. Didn't get it. And then the divine nature. That is godliness. Being like God. That's the divine nature. It is not beyond your reach. It is within all of our reach that we can take on the divine nature and be like God. And when we are all like God, God cannot deny himself. And when he sends his son back, he'll recognize us. You know why? Because we all like him. He can't deny himself. That's what we are striving for. God-likeness. Godliness. Godliness. That's why Jesus came, to show us God. Emmanuel. God with us. That's why this thing is not as complicated as some would try to make it. That stuff is simple. That a child can understand it. That even a person who is without knowledge. I want one more thing, Shan. There was a guy, and he said that there are things of God that he only reveals to certain people. You know, that you get into the spirit and this, that, and the other, and you get some special knowledge from God, and something begin to tingle on the inside. I said, man, you need to leave them beings alone. If it's tingling on the inside of you. He's trying to tell you this stuff is not within your reach. What did the Gnostics do in the book of Colossians? They try to tell the Colossians that you cannot know. And I think that has been a prevailing doctrine over the ages. That you can't know. That is too much above, that you have to get to this next level, spirituality, to know it. Nah. Jesus tells the parable about people going out into the field to work. Some went out at 9 o'clock, some went out at 2 o'clock, Some went out in the afternoon. Some went out in the evening. At the end of the day, everybody got paid the same thing. Got paid the same thing. Why? Because you went out to the vineyard and worked. And so you're talking about some next level spirituality. What about those that went out in the evening time, didn't have 20, 30 years to get that next? They got the same thing. The divine nature, simply godliness. And you can be godlike today. Anderson, what is the most important question asked in all of the scriptures? Acts 16:30, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, and the Philippian jailer had been listening all evening to, at least since they were in that jail, listening about the virtues of Jesus. And about midnight, Paul and Silas began to sing. They began to pray. The place was shaken. The jailer thought all of the convicts had escaped. Paul and Silas said, don't do yourself no harm. We're all right here. The jailer ordered a light to be brought and he fell at the feet of Paul and Silas. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas told him, believe in the Lord, you and all your house shall be saved. The same hour of the night after midnight, Paul and Silas took the jailer. The jailer washed Paul's and Silas's stripes from where they had been beaten and humiliated. They washed Paul and Silas's stripes, and Paul and Silas washed away the jailer's sins when they baptized him and all of his family. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then go down into the watery grave of baptism, be baptized, Acts 22:16, to have all your sins washed away. Once the temple is clean, God will give you the gift of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Mother nature, human nature, and the divine nature. I'm telling you, folks are asking, and they are hurting, and they are baffled, they are confused, the children are confused. I said, what in the world is going on? Is the world coming to the end? You know what the Bible says about these things? No, it has been, it will be. Storms are going to come. They're going to happen. But when we are trusting and resting in the Lord Jesus, it's going to be all right. Those of us that are members of the body of Christ and we have become so jaded and our thinking has become distorted, we left the Lord and we don't even know if we're ever going to come back. Now is the time for you to get it right. Now is the time for you to come back and get your soul right with the Lord. You may not have been here even since last year when I came. You may have been gone for a while, but now is the time to come to the Lord. And you need to repent, you need to confess, and you need to solicit prayers and take on the divine nature, and that is godliness. Godliness. And that's what it says there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Godliness. I've said enough. We're only a step away. And there is going to be a day when we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an answer to everything that went in our bodies, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let God say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Today is the day, now is the time, here's the place, you are the person. Why don't you come us together, we stand and sing.